Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. Israel's Prime Minister says the country has secured an historic victory after 12 days of war with Iran. Benjamin Netanyahu's address to Israelis followed the start of a fragile ceasefire between the two foes, which appears to be holding despite some military hostilities earlier on Tuesday. Ione Wells has more.
He said that Israel has removed, in his words, two immediate existential threats, a nuclear threat and a ballistic missile threat, claiming that if Israel hadn't attacked Iran initially, Israel would soon be facing the danger of annihilation. He's clearly sounding triumphant in this statement. He's also thanking Donald Trump for the US's involvement, particularly in the US's strikes on those three key nuclear sites in Israel. Now, what is interesting, though, is we still don't know much at all about the terms of this ceasefire that has been agreed.
In Iran, President Masoud Pezeshkian announced the end of the 12-day war by hailing what he called the heroic resistance of the nation in the face of Israel's adventurism and provocation. He said Israel had started the war and Iran had ended it successfully. UNICEF has sharply criticised the system for distribution of food aid in Gaza by the Israel and US-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The UNICEF spokesman, James Elder, who's just visited the territory, said depriving a population of food and then forcing them to go to a combat zone to receive aid was ludicrous. Mr. Elder warned that children were beginning to die of thirst.
We are now looking at a man-made drought. If fuel, which supplies and distributes water across the Gaza Strip, is not allowed in, then we start to see children dying of thirst. And we're talking about a couple of weeks. Fuel has not been allowed in for 100 days. This is not logistical. This is political. This is entirely man-made and it's fixed very quickly.
He was speaking to the BBC after Israeli troops were reported to have killed another 46 Palestinians waiting for food handouts on Tuesday. A new study suggests that progress in vaccinating children against a number of life-threatening diseases has stalled or even gone backwards in the last two decades. Experts warn millions of children are being left vulnerable to preventable diseases. Dominic Hughes reports.
Since 1974, more than 4 billion children have been vaccinated, preventing more than 150 million deaths worldwide. But progress has stagnated with wide variations in vaccine coverage. A study in the Lancet Medical Journal says measles vaccinations have declined in nearly half of 200-plus countries. The COVID-19 pandemic made things even worse. By 2023, nearly 16 million children had not had any childhood vaccinations, most of them in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia.
Dominic Hughes reporting. World News from the BBC. NATO leaders now in the Netherlands have attended a dinner hosted by King Willem-Alexander as their summit centred on increasing defence spending began in earnest. Addressing those present, the alliance's chief, Mark Rutte, praised what he called President Trump's strong leadership. Britain says it will buy 12 fighter jets capable of carrying US tactical nuclear weapons. The Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, says this represents the biggest strengthening of Britain's nuclear posture in a generation. London says the purchase of the F-35A jets will boost national security, but experts say that may prove contentious as the bombs then can carry are owned and their use controlled by the US alone. Protesters in Venice are claiming victory after a last-minute change of venue for the opulent wedding of the Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his fiancée. This week's A-list event is being relocated to a less central location. Sarah Rainsford has more details.
One key complaint is that Venice should be for its residents, first and foremost, and not a theme park for the mega-wealthy, with hotels and venues booked out and the airport full of their private jets. Now the campaigners are claiming a win, as the main wedding party on Saturday has been moved further from the city centre. The protesters had been planning to leap into the canals with inflatable alligators to block the guests' arrival. Instead, they'll now limit themselves to a march. One local politician told the BBC that the protests were ridiculous and only represented the views of a minority.
The victorious Oklahoma City Thunder basketball team have been celebrating their first ever NBA title, with a bus parade and rally in front of thousands of jubilant fans. The squad travelled through the US city on open-top buses in sweltering heat, spraying champagne onto the crowds before walking part of the route, posing for photos and high-fiving fans. BBC News.